Hey, you're listening to Block Thinking with Werner Puchert and Jonathan Gall.
Okay.
Yay. Happy birthday, Jono.
Thanks.
I was going to sing the whole thing, but I thought I'll spare people that. It was your 29th, 25th birthday on Saturday. Congratulations, mate. I hope you had a good one.
Yeah.
Are you all shy now? I mean, because I played a bit of Stallout for you.
Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, so welcome back. Next episode, bit of a context for you listening to this. Jonathan and myself, so I'm Werner Puchert and you are?
Jonathan Gall.
Okay, and we are two designers / consultants / self-employed hobos. The one in Warsaw, the other one in Kielce. And we started our own businesses recently and we did a show a few weeks ago, where we started talking about leaving the cubicle, and we had some great feedback and we're back because one of the conversations Jonathan and myself have all the time is around productivity, because I'm a procrastinator and Jonathan is the master of staying busy and keeping focused. Yeah. And in fact, what we did, hey, Jono, is we drew up a Excel sheet, a Google sheet of all the software we purchased when we left the world of safety. And, because I didn't keep that track of that, is that when you walk out the building with your little laptop under your arm, you actually have to go and buy software. And also what was interesting is that the list we drew up, and I'll pop a link to our Excel spreadsheet. We just popped in all the software we're using. It's quite extensive of all the software there. Of course, we don't use everything day by day, but in this episode, we're going to have a bit of a focus around the productivity stuff that we do.
I think we can start a new podcast.
The productivity podcast.
Just talking about that.
Man, I'll be the worst guy for that.
No, actually, I do think that will be excellent. So anyway, let's start with a philosophical view about productivity. I do think that your productivity system is based on your past experience and what you are comfortable with right now.
Yeah.
Which means that what we are going to talk about, this is not like the truth or anything. First of all, we are not Elon Musk to say what you should do.
Oh, hell no.
And we're cooler than him, right? Hopefully.
Exactly.
And on the other side, it reflects what we experience, what lacked in your experience. Some things for you might be, useless. Some other things you might think it's useful. Oh my, seriously, Monday morning, I have difficulties to talk.
Yeah, Jonathan's still waking up. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is here, Jonathan, is that, I mean, like I said in the beginning of this, is that, I mean, it's interesting that you said it comes from your background, because I've always been in a world where we were super manual and messy and things got done, right? But I've never really trained into like super official project management approaches or, specifics around project management. I mean, I got tempered in the ad agency world where we followed a certain process. It was completely repetitive. But then when you're out in the real world, things aren't shaped. Someone's not chasing you to do certain things, right?
Yeah.
And I'll give an example of how we actually differ. So when we noted down the software, something that I've been using for a long time and as a software package is OmniGraffle. People always laugh at me because like when I started wireframing back in the day, OmniGraffle was my tool of choice. And in fact, I used to work, I mean, that's actually irrelevant. I don't need to talk about OmniGraffle, but the actual packages, I ended up using OmniFocus. And I know you also at some stage started using OmniFocus, which is kind of a, jobs to be done, to-do list thing on drugs, right? It reminds you to do stuff and you can set up projects. And I started using OmniFocus, took it into Deloitte, because a lot of the work I did there was really around like business, biz dev, so business development. We used software like, what's that crazy CRM system? I used to hate it. Like, it's the Microsoft one. Fuck, I forgot now, man.
Projects?
Hey? No. The CRM system. How can I forget it? Because I worked on Salesforce at the end, but like we in Deloitte, they used this Microsoft. How can I forget the? But anyway, the CRM system is also supposed to be kind of a reminder or productivity tool, right? But it was like nuts. It's like crazy. It wasn't set up great. So I used OmniFocus to support myself, right? But then now I started using OmniFocus a little bit, being on my own in my own business. But you know what I'm actually doing now, Jono?
Yeah.
I have like a Kanban on my wall with sticky notes.
Nice.
And I don't know, like there's something about the physical writing of the notes, sticking them on the wall of a to-do list. And then when I'm done, the satisfaction of taking that sticky note off the wall, crumpling it up. And then I have this drawer where I put all the, I didn't want to throw them in the trash. I keep them. So sometimes when I feel like I'm being lazy, I open a drawer and I'm going like, I actually got some shit done because there's all these little sticky notes all crumpled up in there. But I mean, I think you've got a way more efficient way of doing things, but you also, I mean, you have kind of software that help you, but you also have software and approaches that actually takes the distraction out. So maybe we need to start talking about how you actually reduce distraction around your operating, because you're quite focused on that as well.
Yeah. So first of all, about this, the sticky note systems on Kanban, it's very close to how Kanban was usually used in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Because they actually had that wall and people had to put, actually it was in wood, but they had to put their own cards and move them. And I can understand the satisfaction, but I hated things in general around me. I want to have the most clear, clean hospital environment around me.
You don't want to sit in a maze.
Yeah, it's funny because my dad and my brother are both, to me, working messes. They have all those things, those desks with thousands of items and stuff. And me, I'm totally clinical in that. I hate to have things around me. It's my birthday, but overall I hate it, but I don't like to receive things, but yeah. I know I will either put in my basement or not trash. I don't trash. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not a monster yet. But yeah, so it won't work with me. And all those paper systems, for example, I tried the bullet journal,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty cool for a while. But the fact
Bullet journal.
But the fact that I was demanding to another physical things, it didn't work out in the long term. I like the principle though.
Yeah, I think there's something about writing things down with your hand, right? But the thing is, I do think that there is an element of clutter. So I'm the same as you in a way. My office space, I mean, to be honest, I don't actually have like a fixed office space. And I have to clear out my office every morning to make it workable. So I don't enjoy having too much clutter either. But then also you talk about there's clutter. And there's journaling. I mean, for me, the fact that you can actually write things down with your hand. I mean, there's something about it, writing things with your hand and doing the physical stuff. Because like we joked the other episode that I'm going to my Polish classes, right? And what I've started doing, I haven't done official classes in a long time. And I actually do it also when I read. As I have to sit with a pen and paper and write notes. I just feel like when you write, the physical act of writing things down gets more stuck things get stuck in my mind. I think it's just the way my brain works. I mean, we need to talk about that kind of study approach.
Scientifically proven.
Yeah. I started doing it now with a project, because there's this one project. I mean, I mentioned it other. I keep on fucking up there. And it's. I mean, I keep on adding digital reminders and filters and trying to categorize email. And I actually went now and I got a notebook, one of my old Moleskines. And I said, okay, cool. This notebook belongs to this project now. And because of the demand that this specific client has, and I started writing notes in the notebook. I've never been a guy like with a little notebook under my arm, but now for that specific client, and I feel like I've gained a little bit more control around memorizing and understanding and prioritizing stuff by writing it down. And I started using the iPad and the pencil, which I love.
Yep.
Like, so for sketchnoting, it works like perfectly. But the sketchnoting or the actual notes of what I need to do for the project, writing them down in the iPad still doesn't work. It's great for sketch notes. It works. I've used it in the university. That's great. But it's like the going back and reviewing what you've done and flipping through the pages, that physical act of doing that, still nothing beats a notebook at this stage for me, right? I just haven't found anything that works for me. But then, I mean, decluttering your desk and then decluttering your desktop on your laptop is also a whole different thing there. And I remember years ago when I met you, we started talking about things, and I want to get into that, is that you also kind of, you declutter things as well. You switch things off. You're a little bit like Jake Knapp in that sense, where you turn things off while you're working.
Yeah, like my phone and things like that. Yeah, so, okay. When it comes to turning things off, I found two very useful pieces of software. The first one on my Mac. So I use macOS. So whatever people that call things about macOS, as a designer / developer, it fills the bills for me.
Yeah.
I use Focus.com on macOS, which is a tool that blacklists software and websites. And I have it, not a timer, I have a schedule during which I can't use those. I mean.
Oh, okay. So you set up the website that you're not allowed to go to.
Yep. And the software. For example, I don't use any like discussion software during most of my work day, unless it's really needed. Things like Slack. Let me check my list preferences.
Okay. So you like, you can put in Twitter and Facebook and all these other things.
Yeah. But I don't use Facebook. That's
a given. That's a good start in the first place. But, and then like Spectrum and all these other, and Discord, you can actually add it in the software and it stops you from going there in a certain period of time.
Yep.
And you can override it, right?
Sorry?
You can override it. So let's say you have a little of an emergency.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have emergency, I have like 15, half an hour that I can use during my time. So you can use it the way you want. Some people use it like Pomodoro's.
Mm-hmm.
So you set up, everything is going to be blocked for the next 30 minutes.
Intense focus, boom, go.
Yeah. In my case, I prefer to use it up to a certain hour. So up to 2 p.m., I don't access anything, because that my, you know, Cal Newport deep work time. I know that.
Yeah. I also find mornings is like the best time to focus.
Yeah, because
work, right?
The brain is not yet full of, you know, what should last thing you discuss with friends and family, or TV shows, or the worst, the news, like, you know, New York Times and all of that, that can fuck up your day since the very beginning, especially right now. So this way I start my computer and I kind of no choice. I mean, I could go out of my way and check other news, but the fact by default it's blocked, I don't do it. What I realized is that I wouldn't do it. I realized doing that checking news or checking your mail is more a Pavlovian reflex than something that actually we need to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Exactly. For example, I uninstalled like the Facebook apps on my phone and on my iPad, which I completely, I mean, I don't know why it is because I don't enjoy it that much, but it kind of sucks you in. Right. But I can still see that behavior kicking in because I'm a bit of a news junkie. So I deleted a whole bunch of news apps off my phone and I left one. And I think what's happened in the end is like I've just increased the traffic to the one app. You have to kind of break the habit there. But I also want to scan through. So we spoke briefly about OmniFocus, right? And one thing that I loved you showed me once with OmniFocus is that there was automation. That you combined it with another piece of software.
So OmniFocus use the getting things done methodology that was written out by David Allen in the 90s. Is it the 90s?
I don't think it matters.
Okay. So
no one cares.
Getting things done methodology in like one sentence is whatever goes in your mind goes inside an inbox because everything in your mind is going to take space and is going to make you slower at doing other things because you're going to think about not forgetting. So what David Allen says is everything you have in mind, you put in an inbox. Then at one point during the week, or depending on your needs, you're going to sort that inbox and put into categories and context. So context can be, I need to do it at home, at work, on the phone, blah, blah, blah. Recently, OmniFocus was built upon that methodology. So how OmniFocus works, you log in, all good. You control N, you add your item, and you add all your items on your phone, on the computer. Yeah. Then you will sort them, put deadlines, and so and so. And you will manage for that. And it's a very powerful piece of software because you can automate also things. You can use other applications to enter like task paper. So you can enter scripts and you run workflow, which is another piece of software on iOS, to import this data into OmniFocus. And you can have variables. So you can change the dates automatically. Let's say you have a list, the one that everybody has, which is, I'm going for a trip. What should I not forget?
So
you can have your template and you can run your template, change the date, and automatically you have your deadline for everything. So check my passport, check that I have that, check that I booked my place 48 hours in advance, so not at the end of the plane, so that I survive. There is a crash. I don't like planes. Anyway, so you can do all of that with
But you know what? I want to add in here because one thing I got excited about, because the two notes here is that I always get tripped up by the subtasks. So I don't know if it's because I'm getting old or whatever, but it's like, okay, cool. We're going to do usability testing. Great. Okay, cool. Okay, I know I have to have a few people, but and then I forget about like the smaller things, like booking the biscuits and... the subtasks are always a trip up. And something that when you showed me this workflow and OmniFocus combination the first time, the benefit I thought of that was interesting is that when you add a task to OmniFocus and say, listen, okay, cool, I need to run a usability test in 3 weeks' time. Okay, that's a task, right? But then what the workflow does is because you've set up this, I mean, the one thing that's repetitive potentially about some of the tasks, I remember when we did usability testing, the format of testing kind of repeats itself, right? It's not, I'm not talking about the scripting and what you're testing and that kind of stuff. And but okay, cool. We have to book a space. We have to write the testing scripts. We need to go and find the people that are going to be participants in the tests. And what I liked about what you showed me is this combination with OmniFocus and Workflow. You hit the button and then it pre-populates the tasks that you need to, you know, and that I think was completely great, because it means that you can go through every project that you do and then add those kind of things in, and it adds it into your to-do yep. list so you don't forget. That was pretty sweet. Am I using it? No. I've got Workflow on my phone for like the last, I mean, I think you showed me 2 years ago at product development days. But I think for people better than me, that would be great. Like OmniFocus plus Workflow. And then I'm scanning through our list here, dude. So we spoke a little bit about focus. I mean, I don't want to be funny. There's a whole ton of shit here that you have. Like, I think the only thing that I've added at the end was like, what I would add is I started, I hate timesheets, man. Mm. I hate it. But it's funny, like since I've been on my own, I've been quite religious in logging time, and it's not really about, okay, cool. There is an element of looking at the, you know, your revenue and how much you're charging clients. I have one or two clients who actually expect me to send them timesheets, but I personally think my value goes beyond timesheets. I hope, I pray, but the thing that helps me personally is I like to look at those timesheets at the end of the week to see how much of the time have I actually spent in a productive way. And to be honest, between you, me, and the listener, I was actually really surprised about how low my hours were.
Deep work hours.
In the sense of like what is actually work hours. Now, I also know from corporate spaces that I think the expectation is that if you look at a person at like in a month, you can't really expect for someone to be like really more than an average of 60% productive I don't know. Like, I don't know if you have any numbers around it, but it is actually scary when you actually sit down and see how productive you really are.
Yeah, because when you look time sheets, you're honest. You're honest to yourself. It's because it's yourself you don't.
It's a person, and it's good to do, right?
Yeah, especially if you're like us and you have that feeling that you need to, you know, to need to give bad value to our clients, you're not going to boost stuff. Whenever I hear people saying that they are working 8 hours a week, I just joke in my mind. I'm like, you're not. You're definitely not.
I don't know. I don't know if I can fall that 8 hours. The thing is, like we said this morning, when you said about walking in the morning, I feel that when I walk into a morning, like I usually head off to a coffee shop where it's not busy, right? And then for some reason, I get to focus in a coffee shop much better than anywhere else, like even in my own little office. And I sit down and I don't know, for some reason I zone out and I can easily do 3 to 4 hours of work in that coffee shop. Like it just zooms past. Like the next thing I know, my half a latte is cold. And but the thing is, I've done a shitload. I've been more productive in that 4 hours than an average day in my previous employment. So it's also hard to gauge that. So, I mean, it's not like because I think you need to be careful too. Like you look at at the time that you spend on tasks, you also need to consider how productive you've been on those tasks rather than saying, okay, cool, I haven't worked my 8 hours, because you can sit and work eight hours and screw around or work slowly. You know, so it's kind of a balance, but it is interesting to do. I mean, every week I go and monitor my time spent, making sure that I know. I mean, and it's also quick, because I think a week ago I realized that, hey, I've been focusing on one client way lot more than the actual client that's paying or being my biggest benefactor and requires the most focus. So it helps you retain, like not destroy relationships too as well.
I do agree with that. Time tracking is something I've been doing religiously since good amount of time now, even when I was employed. I went full extreme. I was time tracking all my time, even sleeping time at one point, just to monitor stuff.
Yeah, I can't get carried away.
Just to monitor how I was doing and what were my patterns. Now I'm more, let's say, I wouldn't say methodic, but cautious about it, doing it. So I try to not time track time spent with my family, for example, things like that. I don't do that anymore. I used to.
This is my girlfriend time.
So what I'm trying to time track right now is on a weekly basis, mainly. I don't have daily time tracks anymore. I know how much I work every day, mm-hmm. like efficiently, like deep work. I know how much I can output. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's more like I'm more looking at the big picture, how much I can output, during a week. That's my current goal. So I have 2 years.
I wanted to ask you, just talking about your, do you have a fixed ritual every day?
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh, yes. I have difficulties to live without my routine, like, honestly.
So how do you do that? Like, what is your classic routine? Because you know what I'm asking is that I realize now, like being into this game now for a few months, that I actually, I thought I had a routine down. I tried to set up a fixed routine, but it gets broken all the time. So now I'm actually going back into a bit of a scale down mode where I want to start doing replanning. And one of those plans is to actually get into a better routine. But can you give me an example?
I feel like we should start with that. Okay, so I wake up every day quite early, around between 5:30 and 6:30 maximum. Uh-huh. And I start my day right now reading. So I use an application called Super Memo. And I buy books on Kindle. I extract the DRM and I import them into that application. And I read into that application because I can use my own font for reading, which is YASA.
Okay. Super Memo.
And I can create flashcards directly. Because one of the things I noticed over time is that you read stuff, then you forget it. You read books, then you forget them. And you read like quotes for those books 4 years later. And you're like, yeah, I think I know about that. Then you realize that you actually read that book. And you're like, okay, did I lose my time at the end of the day if I need to read it again? So I was like, I need to find a solution. So I went into that memory outlet thing. And this is my
online computer. Yeah, that's a whole another rabbit hole. We had a conversation about that the other day.
Yeah, memory competitions and stuff. Anyway, and from that, I found one tool that works very well with me called Super Memo. So basically, I put books inside. I create flashcards from those books.
And that's only Windows, right? You said to me that Super Memo is Windows.
VMware on my Mac to run Windows. So I do that. Sure. Okay. So I start reading. And that's the very first thing I do. I read between half an hour and like yesterday, 2 hours, depending. Then I start, I launch Amazing Marvin. Amazing Marvin. Yeah, which is the tool that replaced OmniFocus for me. The reason it replaced... So, quick story, long story short. Perhaps 2 years ago, I started to experiment out of OmniFocus. I tried a bunch of applications, most of them things, to do it, all of them. Nothing was satisfying for me. Either they were too simple or too limited, and it didn't work out for me. And I found that on I think a subreddit, so on Reddit, a subreddit called Study or something, to try that new SaaS application called Amazing Marvin, which is kind of OmniFocus with more customization options. So I contacted the team. It's just two folks based in Switzerland, and they were like, they had the same issue. So they built their software. One of them is a designer. So she's a designer. Yeah. He's a developer. So we were like, okay, we have the skills. She's a designer. I'm a psychologist. And he's a developer. We have the skills. Mm-hmm. So they build their application and it works for me because it's heavily, heavily customizable to your own workflow.
Yeah. You're like a hyper customizer.
Yeah. I know how I work.
Yeah. So give me an example of like, okay, so typically, okay, so Amazing Marvin, you fire that bad boy up and then you have
so
to toss it.
So what I have, so I'm going to launch mine because I have mine in front of me. So I have five blocks, in Amazing Marvin. After experimentation, I tried all kinds of things. I tried calendaring, you know, 8 a.m. I do that, 10 a.m. I tried by energy level, but what works for me, it's by block of contents. So I have five blocks: dev, design, business, paperwork, home. My first block is dev.
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, I have my time estimation. Before anything, I time estimate. So every single task is estimated. Marvin show individual tasks, parts of projects. So I know every day I can do an average of 9 hours of wheel work. But not only dev and development, like man, real productive things in my life. 9 hours, I can do more, but I count also the days where I can do less. So 9 hours, a good average. Every day, the last thing I do before going to bed is plan the next day. And I do that, I plan for 9 hours of work. So I never overcommit, which was one of my main issues for decades. I would be like, I'm going to do all the things. And you don't do all the things. And at the end of the day, you feel like shit. Because why? Because you weren't able to estimate. Because I was shit estimation when I was young. And I discovered growing up that everybody should have that estimation. It's a field in computer science.
You might be like me who, like, I don't know, like, and this is a crap excuse, right? But this is something that's stuck with me all the, and that's why I'm like really interested in this thing and wanted to talk to you about it, is that I have this tendency, and maybe it's just me, but I plan stuff, right? But I work in this kind of exponential curve that I am way more productive and creative closer to the deadline. I don't know why it is. This is a horrible trait. Don't do this. Is that, you know, when I start feeling the pressure of a deadline, I start becoming more focused for some reason. I don't know what it is. And I always put myself in this shit situation. I mean, I don't miss deadlines, but I always end up sitting in these freaking spots where I have to work over the weekend. My wife wants to kill me. You know, but bad planning, but kind of also bad planning is not the right thing. It's like, I put myself in the situation like it feels comfortable.
Because the
to be
little
there.
Monkey in your brain wants to do the fun things. And it's only when the monster of deadlines arriving, the little monkey is afraid. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm paraphrasing, but it's from TED Talk from Tim Urban. It's exactly how our brain works anyway. So that's why. That's why I'm very happy of my current methodology. The fact that I'm forcing myself to estimate individual tasks, not big projects, it works much better for me. So if I check my planning for today, in dev I have two things, in design I have five things, I have some business work to do, I have my timer for recording block thinking, which started. I have some paperwork, and for home, I have to take the trash out, it seems today. And I have to water the plants.
Yeah, don't forget about that.
So anyway, I'm taking care of balancing all of it. So for every category, I have a certain amount of hours. So I plan 2 hours of development today and probably 4 hours of design. And that's okay. I know that I can do that.
Yeah.
More is not realistic. So to come back to my days, so I go through those tasks. I have also priorities, so I know where to go.
Perfect.
I try to complete. Yeah. I do my best to complete all of them. If I feel that it's not going to happen, I just move them to the next day. No big deal. The important thing is that you need to cut tasks so that you can finish them in one day. If something takes more than 2 hours,
yeah, I don't want it to bleed over, right?
It's not something that I want to have. If I can check it during the day, there's no point. It's on my task list.
That's actually interesting. Like splitting, there needs to be a clear cut between what's a project and what's tasks. I think with my sticky note situation that I have here, that it works great for tasks, but I found that sometimes like a task is going to take a period of time. It's actually a project. So I need to split that up into subtasks.
Yeah, subtasks is my bane, to be honest. If I see subtasks arriving, it's probably because I didn't cut my project enough. To take a very concrete example, I was doing some usability review this week. So usual process. So you do your interviews, then you record them, you check your recording, you cut your video file, you tag questions, you create your summary, so your huge Excel chart and all of that. I realized that one of the process will take much more time than expected because the interviews were much longer than expected. So I just created a sub-project so that I have tasks that are... in that project, I have session one, session two, session three. So it's per hour it was and not per finishing that task. This is also something I found very useful for me. Organizing by time and not by completion. Because this little thing of checking that box is creating virtual circle in a way.
Yeah, because sometimes you push out other projects or other tasks that need to be completed to actually complete a certain task. Yep. I've seen that happen to me too, where you actually realize afterwards, hey, you can actually shift out this task and complete it tomorrow. And then, you know, like it's not that it necessarily needs to be completed today, but you get kind of this tunnel vision to complete things. Yeah. And also the other thing I wanted to add, like I realized that yesterday, I found that prioritization of tasks also becomes quite interesting because yesterday I wanted to work through a few things. I had a few things on my to-do list and I have this kind of vision of where I want to take it. But then I had to kind of sit back and say, okay, cool. What has the best, you know, I have intention to do a whole bunch of stuff, but what is profitable? What is relevant to my business? What is more important? You know, like you kind of have to ask these questions because if you're just blindly chasing tasks, just go, I do that. This might not resonate with people. I tend to find sometimes that I get dragged into a task that is not really... it's not critical. And then I screw up a relationship somewhere or, you know, I put myself under pressure on another project. So that's kind of a lesson that I've learned is like really think about each task and say, okay, cool, where does this fit into the bigger picture?
This is
prioritize
important.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, especially when you're running your own business, like if you fart arsing around with the wrong task, that could be detrimental, man.
Yep, definitely. It's funny you're talking about that. I just created... so I have self-rules and I just created a new self-rule a few days ago because I spend way too much time geeking out on something when I should have been working. So I put a self-rule.
Yeah.
If something wasn't planned by me the day before, I will do it only when I finish all my priorities and build work.
And you have to reward yourself, right? That's the other thing. Like yesterday, honestly, yesterday I was really just doing tasks that wasn't really like, was like tasks that I wanted to do that is not really relevant to my business because yesterday was a weekend, right? And I had some time to mess around. So I thought, okay, cool. Let me clean up a few of the subtasks that I had to do. But then at the end, I also had a reward task. you know, or something that, but the thing is, it's so easy because I'm a bit of a workaholic to continue working with stuff because I have this damn little, people are going to laugh. My brother gave me this radio control helicopter. It's like a little T-Rex, a Lion T-Rex. I can't fly this damn thing, dude. I've crashed this thing 10 million times. And then I finished some stuff off. I mean, you know, you actually helped me with some of the projects. And then I was like, okay, cool. Let me continue doing this other work. And I went, no. Now it's time to spend an hour on this sub task.
I mean,
this reward task, right? And that's usually for me a reward task, usually like sitting down, spending some time to read something, reconnecting with a friend, setting up a meeting, having a coffee with a mate. I mean, it can be both productive and, and good for your business, but you need to build those. And even business development, dude. You know what I started doing is I also started logging time spent on doing business development.
The first thing that you hear about doing reward task with these kind of things. Most of the time people use reward tasks for, you know, binging games of phone or, you know, playing some video games. So you actually do productive stuff during your reward task.
I try to, like, I mean, I don't know, like I try and, I mean, at the moment my mode isn't, like my brain is a little bit an overcooked thing. Because I mean, I sit and joke around here about screwing up. I'm actually quite focused about what I want to do. And what tends to happen actually, honestly, is that I tend to focus on project tasks and over delivering on projects. And then what happens is we spoke about working on your own, that your social structure fails. Right. And your social structure doesn't have to be just having beers at the river, which is great. But then, you know, reconnecting with some business people to connect with and see what's happening, continuing business development conversations, reading, chasing up and cleaning up some of your invoicing and all that kind of stuff. That is, I mean, that's potentially not reward tasks, but sitting and looking at your pipeline planning, for example. This is the other thing that I mean, we're going off tangent here a little bit, but I said to someone this week that something I did when I left Deloitte, which is, it sounds very Deloitte thing to do. I did a financial plan, projections based on, so I have this spreadsheet that shows, you know, current projects in, what is my projections? What does it look like? Where do I want to be? What's my target? I mean, at the moment, which is really crazy, is that I am under my target, but much better than I thought. And the thing is, I said to this mate of mine that I spoke to, is like this financial planning or this targeting actually became a motivator, not like chasing money, but really to see where my business is going, what do I need to focus on, what do I need to prioritize, what is important. Like it actually started becoming to focus around like how do I position my business. Because I think when people hear like, oh, you're looking at financial projections, it's like you switch your brain off and just think about money. No, it's not just the money. It's just to when you look at these financial projections, it's also about like, you know, sustaining the lifestyle that I've now chosen. You know, you need to be able to pay the rent. Like we've spoken about that. Now, okay, cool. So what do I need to do to sustain this lifestyle? And it becomes a motivator or focus. So, I mean, one thing, I mean, that's just basic Excel or Google Sheets, right? Of saying, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. This is my target. This is what I've brought in from a revenue perspective. This is my gap to sell. This is what I still need to do to get to my target. And then you have like sub to that, you have what is your forecast? So what am I forecasting from this month forward? So then you see, you know, so for example, I think, you know, I have a figure at the moment that I know that I need to sell to make my target. But then also my target is based on what can I actually physically do. You know, I just don't pop a target in there and go, okay, great. Because you also, like when you set yourself a target, you go like, can I physically as one person make this target? Or do I need to hire someone? Because then when you hire someone, that target goes up, but then you also have to increase your revenue. So I didn't know this because I was like, I tell you what, like, in the old days, when I looked at these things, I got like, oh, fuck it, this damn thing, like looking at more projections, kill me. But now that I have my own business, those projections actually, they have, of course, a financial impact. You look at it from a financial perspective, but it actually became, it's now for me a business tool. Like what I need to do, and that's kind of, in a way, my motivator is like looking at my projections and then whittling it down. But I still think like, I like what you're saying is like fixing and structuring the day to day. Because the other thing I wanted to talk to you or mention to you is like, I only started yesterday, is like looking at meditation, for example, making time for meditation. Something else we want to also talk about is like your physical and your, what you put in your body, how you eat, all these things. But I feel like we need to go back to the productivity thing to schedule those things in or have some kind of rough plan of how you set your day, because you get sucked into this rabbit hole of other crap. But then on the flip side of, you know, focusing on over-delivering or, you know, extending a project that is not really necessary for moving your business.
I totally agree on that.
Man. Yeah. Dude, I mean, we're running out of time. So before we do that, like, I just want to scan like quick comments around some of the software we have on here, right? So we've spoken about Super Memo that you use to extend your reading. And that's a whole episode on its own. We spent about an hour the other day talking about memorizing. There's a great book that you gave me. I actually bought it.
Oh, yeah.
Make It Stick. I bought it. I haven't read it yet. It's like in a pile of books.
Super Memo is a thing. It took me two months to get into it. That's another episode, especially that Super Memo, Memo is linked to Bullent. So that's
there's a Polish guy behind the Super Memo, right? So I think we need to let me read that book and then we'll have a conversation about that, because I think that's super important, whatever you do, because I mean, I'm trying to do online training that we still need to talk about, because I want to get myself equipped with Framer. I started working on some Framer stuff thanks to you, Jono. Reading, like you go through all this stuff and you rush through it, but you don't retain a lot of it, like feels it doesn't stick, right? So Make the Stick, great book to check out. We've spoken about Amazing Marvin. The other thing that I think is interesting, but maybe not a conversation for now, maybe we can get Kasha or Ruffle back in, is how we can get, because I've been thinking about how can I get my damn Alexa, Amazon Alexa, and it's switching on listening to me right now, how can I get that to actually help me in my productivity? Because you can set up routines and tasks and that kind of thing with your voice system. And I think that could be an interesting way to also keep track of things, because I tend to push my calendar through my Echo, and that helps a little bit. Yeah. And then there's some other stuff here, dude. You've got Better Touch Tool, Bartender. Do you want to quickly scan through the top of this list and just maybe make a one sentence comment on these?
Sure. So to finish up, so we'll have probably another episode about those tools. So in part of my tool sets, I have a bunch of tools. So all of them are for macOS, but you might find,
alternatives.
So I use the command line. I use a tool called Alfred to call applications. So I don't go search. It's like Spotlight on Mite, but boosted, because you can add add-ons. So you can start other applications from there with parameters. So it's pretty cool. I use Barrier to have my two computers using the same keyboard, same mouse. So it's pretty cool.
Barrier?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's basically like a virtual KVM. So you don't have to, switch keyboards and everything. Because I use two or three composers often, it's useful. So Better Touch Tool is something that I wonder how people live without it on Mac.
Better Touch Tool.
Better Touch Tool, yeah. So basically it's a software that lets you configure moves, I'll say move, shortcuts, but on your trackpads.
Oh.
So I have one shortcut, which is two fingers, one finger that launch my call picker, for example.
Damn it, dude.
And you configure your trackpad, you do all the moves that you do. So instead of shortcuts on your keyboards, you have shortcuts also on your trackpad. There is one fun stuff on my setup also. I use both a trackpad and a mouse for several reasons, but that's going to go for the next episode.
Yeah.
I use what else? So Focus, we talked about it. My terminal is Item, but it's pretty technical. So let's move that. Homebrew. Also something that you probably want to use on Mac, which is, it's a software packager. No, not software packager. Yeah. Basically, you want to install applications. So right now, what you have to do is to go on the website, download, blah, blah, blah. Or if it's up from the Mac App Store, you go in the Mac App Store, you search, blah, blah, blah. You don't know. But one of the issues with that is that you don't have a list and you can batch install and uninstall. So Homebrew is basic tool that enables me to install software with one command. I write boo install software. It will automatically install the latest version and everything in it. And I want to uninstall it, same thing.
Homebrew, so I think I ran into Homebrew using it with Framer and I had to install some kind of framework. What's that UI framework? Man, I can't remember.
You probably had to install NPM. So you can install basically nodes via Homebrew.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. What else? Gem Desktop to basically use my Mac on my iPad. It's a really cool piece of software also.
You use your Mac on your iPad?
Yes. The way I use it is a little different. Because my laptop is much less powerful than my desktop, when I'm abroad and I need to use the power of my desktop, so basically I log into it. It's kind of like VNC, but quicker.
That's what I wanted to say,
Mac API. So it's
okay.
Better. And your advantage is, yes, you can use your iPad as a remote screen to your computer.
That's great.
Which is pretty cool also. What else? Carabiner's Elements and Colmac. So I don't keep using the QWERTY or AZERTY standard. I keep using Colmac.
Typing, like when you
typing, yeah. So Colmac is a way. How do you call that? Basically, it's a format of keyboards.
I mean, I also have to flick between the Polish keyboard and the English keyboard from time to time.
Exactly,
yeah.
It's exactly like that. Man, Colmac is optimized for speed and
it reminds me
Carnal tunnel problem.
Cool.
I had issues at one point with pain in my hands. So I did some research and the advice to try something else. I didn't want to do VORAC and Colmac seems. I tried it.
Yeah.
It took me some time to get through it. I shouldn't say words like that. But it's difficult on your brain when you use for decades to type away, especially when you're a touch typist.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to recalibrate, but it was definitely worth it.
Great.
I have other issues and things to that though. I can't type on normal keyboards anymore. And whenever I give my keyboard to somebody else, it's always fun.
Yeah.
Because what you put on the keyboard is not what's going to happen.
You're one of those people. You're like my wife. She always she uses the scrolling and stuff in reverse. Like the only human on planet. And then she wants me to do stuff on the laptop and I can never use the damn thing. Because it's all the scrolling and everything is in reverse flow.
Oh,
damn
me
it,
too.
Marta. Okay. And there's a few left still. I mean, we're gonna pop a link to our list of software, not as like the
I do think that the other thing, it's project management, the fact that I use multiple mouse, standing desk, monitor arms, iPhone,
it's more like
in the next episode.
Yeah. Good stuff. I mean, I added trackingtime.co. That's my time tracking software, but it's not. I mean, there's so many of them out there. The one thing that with this tracking time software that I have, I quite like the reporting it does because I can send it to clients and stuff and it's web-based. It's easy to use. The only thing that I would say it's missing on that damn thing is a iPhone or a phone app because just the easy add time. Because the thing is, the way I log time is completely different. I don't physically sit and hit time. You know, like some people like I'm going to sit down and do the time. I don't do that. I work. And then afterwards, I, like at the end of the day, I go, okay, cool. This is what I've spent time, because I can jump between tasks and whatever, which is probably a focus of expression of my messy way of work. But I have too much things going on. Like I phone calls, emails, I have to shift focus all the time.
It should be timely.
Yeah. Timely.
Yeah, because it's basically working around that timely scan what you're doing on your computer and do your time sheets for you. I use it for a while.
Great. I'll give it a bash. Timely. Oh, we'll add it to the list. Yeah, I just don't want to be too like big brother thing with the time, with my timekeeping. But yeah, there's something I'll be exploring. Dude, yeah. So, I mean, I think we're kind of getting to the end of the time. I don't want to go too deep into this, but I think there's a few points here. It's actually a tough topic to dive into, because we have such a different way of approaching productivity, and it's but I mean, we have the list here and people can have a look, and I'd love to for people you know, if you have something that works for you, to send it our way, that'd be great. And then yeah, I mean, let's see what happens in the next episode. Next time we'll probably either continue with this track, but also I'm trying to set up some interviews. But Jonathan, something else I wanted to bring up that we could potentially bring into a conversation is the fact that we are actually also working on our brands, right? We've spent now a solid period of time trying to shape the brands of our individual businesses, which sounds a bit crazy for people going like, but hell, you should have done it before. But, you know, you can slap a few websites together. I mean, mine's horrible. Like, that's one of the reasons I wanted to do that. But I think... I read a book somewhere, or someone said to me that, you know, before you, like, you can come up with the MVPs and all kinds of stuff, but you also need to think about marketing at the same time. So you can start thinking about your marketing and how you're going to sell your stuff, like, way before the product's even finished, right? And when I say marketing, I'm talking about damn Facebook ads. I'm talking about, you know, how does your product relate to your audience? Who is your audience? You know, who are you selling this thing to? What problem are you solving? And what does this brand look like? So we've been working on that, and I'd love for us to talk about that at some stage, because we've actually finished one for, we actually worked together on each of our own individual businesses. We've done one for another project, for another quotes business that we're doing. And it's been an interesting journey to figure out, you know, the marketing and communication side of a project, which I think we could have a great conversation about. So, Jono, what is next for you, my man? What's happening beyond this in the next 2 weeks for you?
I guess I'm going to do the first. I mean, we are going to ship the first version of one of the websites I've been working on. I'm also go through working on process for another possible client. So we'll see how it works.
Nice.
Yeah, and other than that, I'm getting bad full speed on Framer those days, which is super nice. I finally found time to do that.
Nice.
And I have a lot of fun. I'm discovering all the new things that happened during the last 6-8 months I've been out of the game. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we need to dip into the whole the prototyping space too, because I don't know if you see, I've got a Acture t-shirt on today.
I see.
Because it's probably giving away my age, because I mean, they recently released the new version of Acture 2, right? I think it's version 9. I haven't had time to check it out or see what's going on there, but there's so much going on. Like, I mean, I actually dipped into Sketch and Framer recently. I did a prototype in Framer. Must say, like, it was actually really cool to use, dude. Hat tip, but I don't even think I've touched the power of it at all. But it was quick. I had to do a quick kind of prototype, proof of concept for something that's completely unrelated to anything. It was just for a presentation, and I popped it in there, did the work in Sketch, and then imported it into Framer. It wasn't perfect, but then boom, the guy I collaborated with was quite happy with it. I mean, it's probably the first ever thing that I've done in Framer. I had Framer for a while already. Yeah, and then for me, dude, wrapping up a project at the moment, trying to clear up this brand thing. I think for me, the next 4 months, I want to slow down a little bit. Like I said, with my financial projections, I'm not there yet, but I'd like to, I think, invest some time and just slowing it down and get into your kind of flow of where I set up a proper, you know, process for myself and focus on setting things up a bit better. But I've also been lucky where it looks like one of my retainer clients is increasing their time, which means I might have the luxury to do that. And then two other things I wanted to mention is also that we started getting some heads up from the people who are organizing product development days. We are, disclaimer, kind of involved there. So product development days is happening sometime in October, right, Jono? And yep. Krakow. I mean, last year's event was really great. I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen this year, but that's an event to check out in October. So productdevelopmentdays.com in Krakow. Kind of a nice...
22-24.
Yeah. So it's... I think the early bird tickets are still up for grabs. I think the conference is also going to be slightly shorter this year, where the conference itself is going to be like a day, and then there's going to be a day of workshops, and I think there's something else also happening. But a bit more compact, but I kind of like the more compact approach to things. The other thing that's also going to happen soon, and if anybody's interested, it's a bit on the hefty side, is the College of Extraordinary Experiences. It happens right here in Poland. It's a global experience design event. This is the fourth year it's happening, just on the other side of Wrocław. Extraordinary.college if you wanted to check that out. Like I said, it's a hefty ticket price. It's not in everybody's remit to head over to Tocha to to participate, but there is scholarships up for grabs. So at some stage, the organizers, I mean, I'm working with them at the moment, they are going to open up for scholarships. I think at the end of this month, whatever, you can submit the application. They review those. I mean, there's a limited amount, but they are available. So if you're interested in, to go there, it's extraordinary.college. And then, yeah, Jono, that kind of wraps up the show. I wanted to add one more thing.
Yeah.
I started doing my own cold brews. Man, I've been sipping away the whole episode listening to you talk about productivity on a little bit of a caffeine high. Delicious. I'll pop the recipe for that because I don't know about cold brew. I just thought it was like cold coffee, like normal drip coffee cold. But it's actually what you do is you you grab the beans, you grind it up like in a coarse kind of grain, pop it in water, and you put it in water. It's like half the mix, right? So it's quite strong. And then you pop it in the fridge for like 20 hours, man. Sits in the fridge for 20 hours and then you filter out that little caffeine goodness and then you add another like 50% of water to that, dude, and you add ice and in this hot Warsaw weather it's not even like it doesn't only fuel you up, it's just so good. I can't wait for this to end to go get my refill of cold brew coffee. I'll pop a link into how it's made. But really, had to just get some quality beans for that.
It's going to be a nice cooking episode one of the days.
If you want to stay productive, drink cold brew coffee.
Thanks for listening to Block Thinking. You can find more information and the show notes for this episode at www.blockthinking.com. That is blockthinking without the K.com. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on iTunes or any of your favorite podcast platforms. We thrive on critique, so feel free to leave comments on iTunes or get hold of us directly. Thanks for listening.